Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And I wanted to share a little bit concerning the heart of giving. A subject that we do know a lot about, but want to continue growing in it. As we know, giving is a part of God's nature. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves to give. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He had put earth together to bless mankind. Everything that's here is to bless mankind. He put the trees on the earth and the grass and the animals and the birds and the creeping things. All these things he has done to give to man, to the benefit of man. God just is an incredible giver. He's always giving. He gave us eternal life. He gave some of us a sense of humor. Anyway, but giving is something that God desires for his people to do as well, not just him. It's a godly principle. And one of the things that God instituted in the Mosaic Law was giving. Not that it wasn't around beforehand, but he included it into the Mosaic Law, and we're going to see a little bit better today why that would be. But to start off, we're going to go to chapter 14, verse 22. It says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed." And as we know, the word tithe means tenth, 10%. And God's command to the children of Israel was that they were to tithe or give 10% of all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and of the firstlings of the herds and of the flocks, and thou mayest learn to fear, or that thou mayest learn to fear, or love, or have a reverence towards the Lord thy God always. And that was part of the purpose of giving, that they would reverence God and recognize God as their supplier of all need. And we heard it in manifestations a number of times today. God wants to take care of us. He just does. And tithing for the children of Israel allowed that process to work in a very smooth way. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 27. So it was something that God commanded the children of Israel to do, the tithe of their increase and of their fruits and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. Leviticus chapter 27. And in verse 30, I looked up the word tithe. I was surprised there's not a whole tithe and tithes, plural, not a whole lot of uses. I thought it'd be all over the Old Testament. It surprised me. Chapter 27, verse 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught at his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." So God wanted it where they gave a tithe. They gave 10% of their increase, and just what he wanted them to do. Let's go to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Verse Now, what's interesting is when God had the children of Israel go into the promised land, he had promised them this land, and then when they got to it, the 11 of the 12 tribes, he gave certain specific. He didn't just let them go in and everybody run and claim their stake. He said, Gad, you guys are going to be over here. Dan, you guys are going to be over here. Judah, you're going to be over here. And he separated, or didn't separate, but he designated certain lands for them to live in. And that was considered their inheritance. But there was one tribe that was left out, and that was Levi. They didn't get any land. God said to those guys, you're going to be, I will be your inheritance, or they will be his inheritance, in that they were, he said, you guys are going to serve Israel. And Israel will tithe and take care of you. And God was like, hey, I'm going to reserve a whole tribe to take care of the rest of these knuckleheads. They need a lot of help. And I'm designating a whole tribe to take care of these people, to do the ministerial things and the things that just would help Israel. And in turn, the Israelites, that's what the tithe was for, to take care of these people. Because I heard all my life, money doesn't grow on trees. The paper does, but not the green part. I mean, the leaves do, but you can't use that for money. So this is a little record of it, just showing how the process was. Chapter 18, verse 20. It says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, and as we know, Aaron was the first high priest. And it says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, and he was Moses' older brother, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel. The children of Israel was one of the 12 tribes. They were the ones that first started the Blue Jeans. They were. All the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh or close to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. So these guys are going to take care of the tabernacle. They're going to do the ministerial things. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. A heave offering is the word heave, just it basically is like lifting up. And this is an offering that you would lift up to God, and God would honor it. And so the tithe, in part, was like something that was offered to God. They didn't literally send it to God. You can't do that. Here's our corn for the month, God, and send it up, you know. That'd be corny to do something like that, right? So, but it was a heave offering to God. It literally went into the hands of the Levites. I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Verse 25, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto Levites. So now he's talking to Moses. And say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this is your heave offering, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel. And you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. out of all your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof, out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And you shall eat it in every place, and ye in your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it when you gave, when you have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. So the children of Israel were to gather of their increase. They're supposed to give it to the Levites. God commanded the Levites, of that stuff, take 10% and you offer that. And you give it to Aaron. And so they too were to tithe, even though they were working for the children of Israel. They too, and that became like a, you know, it was the same principle of giving. He wanted those Levites to give just as much as the 11 tribes gave. But the essence in the heart of it was that God set it up. There's going to be certain people designated to take care of the spiritual needs of all the others. And the ones that were, the other 11 tribes were to give a tenth of what they increased and of what they got from the field, from the animals, from the trees, whatever. And that was to take care of those people. And God set it up that if they do this, everybody will be happy. let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. So this tithe was not to be dreaded. It was a life support for both sides, so to speak. Everybody benefited from it. Chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's just the heart of it, you know. God, it's an honoring unto God to do this. And all people get blessed from it, the giver and the receiver. Let's go to Exodus chapter 35. This is an example of giving. This was not actually the tithe, but this was a time period where there was a call for a need for other things. They were going to build the tabernacle, and they needed all different types of things. They needed workers, they needed materials, they needed a lot of stuff. So it was an addition to the tithe. But look how they just gave. Exodus chapter, wrong book. Ran out of chapters. That was my first clue. Chapter 5, verse 4.
Did you say
35? 35? So, I'm sorry. I'm all mixed up.
It's 5?
I'll start from the beginning. Exodus chapter 35, verse 4.
30.
Sorry, over there. It says, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and goat hairs and ram skins, dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and oxen stone, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his tashes, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering. And he goes on and on about all these different things. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 20. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the, it doesn't say tithe, but it's an offering. It was just above and beyond. It was a special need, and they brought the offering, the Lord's offering, to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and all his service, and for his garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels and gold, and every man that offered an offering of the gold unto the Lord. Anybody remember where they got a lot of that gold? God arranged it when they left Egypt. Those people said, "Here, take all of it. Our rings, our earrings, our bracelets, yeah. Take it all." Yeah. Interesting. God gave to those guys so they can give back. It's like, you know, when our kids were little, maybe you did this, you know. Your birthday was coming up, and you knew your kid wanted to get your birthday present, so you gave him the money to buy it. All right, just kind of the way it is. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins and rams and badger's skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man with whom was found chittimwood for an offering, work of the service, brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both a blue and a purple and a scarlet and the linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hairs. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. They must have gotten really blessed in doing so and seeing all that come to pass. Let's go to Exodus 36, verse 5.
Where?
It says, and they spake unto Moses, saying, this is a little, after all this stuff, the leaders of the work thing, they said, and spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. You know, they were just so blessed to give. It just piled up, and the leaders said, the workers said, we got plenty. We just don't, you know. Isn't that great? As opposed to constantly begging for more, and we really don't. let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. This is a record where King Hezekiah was endeavoring to bring the word back into front and center in the hearts and lives of the believers, and they did a Passover for the first time in many years, and incredible great things had happened to them. And in chapter 30, we're just going to look at verse 18. It says, and for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth the heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. What a great thing. I mean, they're doing the best they can. They didn't come all prepared like the law dictated, but they, you know, God just helped them. He just so wants to help his people. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. So in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, so to speak, Old Testament prophets, and sadly, this didn't always work out this way that God wanted, where the children of Israel tithed and the priests and the Levites were doing their part correctly. You know, both sides kind of really screwed it up. And Malachi is the whole book is like a reproof almost. And one of the issues that he deals with was the tithe. Israel is not tithing as per the law, and the priests weren't doing what they were as to the law. And in verse 7, it says, "Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me even this whole nation. And here's the charge again. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And on top of that, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, even the Lord of hosts." So the heart was that God wanted his people taken care of, and people stopped bringing. The Levites were not being taken care of. The priests weren't being taken care of. They were straying from the truths of God's word, and nobody got blessed. The heart of it, of the giving, wasn't for your own prosperity, although that happens. It was to bless God's people as a whole. And, you know, the storehouses would refer to where they kept things. There's a record where they, with Hezekiah, didn't read it, but Hezekiah, they started rebuilding the temple and stuff and getting it fixed up. And there was a call for, you know, offerings, and they brought so much. And Hezekiah went to check out the work, and he saw all these giant piles of all this stuff. And he goes, "What's this?" And he goes, "We got so much, we don't know where to put it." And, you know, that's the storehouses. He'll fill as the believers do what they're supposed to do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In the New Testament, there's no mention of the word tithe, other than it referencing Old Testament scripture. In the New Testament, God said, "You don't have to give. Don't bother with it." No. The principles of giving and the heart of giving don't change from administration to administration. Circumstances are slightly different, but the not that much. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's just an example of it. And in verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that's really the standard for the grace administration, that we give cheerfully, doesn't give a percentage. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that meaneth to his seed to the sower," in our administration that would be like gift ministries or servants of God, the people that teach, people that minister, he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So again, it's the principle of people giving to those that are ministering. Verse 11, and both get blessed from it, being enriched in every thing to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Which is part of the heart of, again, of giving in our administration. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. You know, God's heart is that the ministers, whoever they may be, it doesn't have to be an official title, obviously, but that those who are ministering the word can have what they need as well. And we see that in different parts of the New Testament, Paul's travels. Sometimes he went into Thessalonica, and at first he didn't allow them to give. He didn't always accept money because of their extreme need. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 6, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of believing." Again, just showing the heart of it. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Again, showing the heart of giving. Matthew, Mark, chapter 12. This is Jesus. He was sitting by the treasury, and he was watching people throw money into the treasury, and he noticed something. In verse 41, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much." So if they had a lot of money and they gave 10% of that money, that's a lot of money. If a guy was a millionaire today and he took 10% of that, that's $100,000. That's a lot of money. Or whatever.
Wesley, where are you at again?
Am I in the wrong? Mark chapter 12?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Verse 42. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing," which is really not much money at all, like hardly anything. "And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Now, he wasn't saying those men were wrong that threw in a lot of money. He was just saying this woman, she threw in just a couple little pennies, and she threw in more than all those rich people. It's the heart behind it. And verse 44, "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." She was throwing all her, like the guy at the blackjack table, I guess, and throws all his money on one number. She is putting all her money into the treasury and looking to God for her help. And Jesus Christ recognized that. The others were, they were putting money, it was helpful, but it wasn't where, like it talks about, we read the scripture where the tithe was to help you in the reverence of the Lord, where you're God-minded. To some people, 10% is really not a whole lot. I'll do that, But it's where we don't give till we hurt. That's not the idea, but that brings a a recognition of God type of thing. And then we'll quickly go to Acts chapter 4. Just see, it's just wonderful to see these records where these truths were being lived by the believers and the great things that happened from it. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 is the early time in the church, right after Pentecost, and the word of God was really moving in Jerusalem and such. Verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Now the communists try to do this. It doesn't work because there's no love of God in it. There's no God directing of it. But they try to do, oh, everybody's got this. We'll all be the same. I'll take your money and don't take mine. Verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And everybody got taken care of. And the reason was is that people believed God and they gave. And lastly, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Giving is just a big part of our lives. Acts chapter 8.
2 Corinthians.
I didn't really screw you up today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. And this is a record where there was a collection from the saints for money and, I guess, food stuff for the believers that were in Jerusalem. There was a famine, and there was a great need, and word went out to different churches, can you help? And these churches in Macedonia wanted to give, but they really didn't have a whole lot financially, I guess. And verse 1, it starts off with, "Moreover, brethren," what I'd like to do actually is read it in the ESV version. It's a little clearer. Some of the verses in the King James are a little difficult to gain understanding from, but I'll just read it. It says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that we have given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their parts. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, as of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not only as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as we had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in believing, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." And the act of grace was the giving. So these believers heard of the need, and they just wanted to so help. And that's really the heart of giving. It's not so much the amount as it is the heart involved. But if everybody does what God talked about, everybody gets taken care of. There are times that we read some of them in the Bible where all kinds of people are happy. Imagine that. And as a spillover, the world benefits from that, when God's people are happy, the rest of the group are all right. But it's just a wonderful thing. It's just so great how God designed it that it's nobody hurts from it. It's just a blessing.